Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews, or like a book club for people late reading. This month's theme is horror, so I picked Resident Evil, made in 2002. We bring you movie news, and this week we have Jonathan Charney, Ryan Preston, Rob Charney, and the man with no tan, Jeff Michael. Anybody have a description of this movie? Apparently we did our homework.
IMDb's description.
Be prepared.
Yeah.
IMDb's description is horrible, by the way.
And they're always horrible.
Right.
I mean, we're always making a joke about that. But it's better than nothing.
True.
Jonathan, why don't you read
this? This is a movie based off a video game.
It's worse.
It really is. So here's the magnificent description by IMDb. A special military unit fights a powerful, out-of-control supercomputer and hundreds of scientists who have mutated into flesh-eating creatures after a laboratory accident. Which, A, they weren't really mutated, and it wasn't an accident. So you kind of lied!
Yeah.
I'll start this, and I gotta say, this movie doesn't... I love this movie, but it doesn't hold up as much as I remember it, because it's been probably a few years since I've seen it.
Yeah.
All the electronics and all the computer scenes and all the stuff is just bad.
That part was actually forgivable. The two things, the CGI did not hold up. Because I remember at the time thinking, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah. And yeah, it had a couple of moments in there that I think we all sort of finally remembered, like, oh, remember that moment in Resident Evil? It had a couple of those, you know?
Yeah. It was, it's like, your memory of it is a lot better than it probably really is.
With these, you sort of tend to remember those couple of good lines and the couple of good moments, you know, right. Namely the cross-hatched...
Laser security system.
Thing. That was, to me, the best part, especially when the white of the eye dripped.
Yeah.
The only thing that really bugged me about it this time, well, actually every time, is how you drop and there's no blood on the floor at all. And they say, okay, so it cauterized the ruin, but there'd still be chunks of people, which there weren't.
Right.
Chunks of meat.
Right.
Like square chunks of black guy.
The one thing, though, it
just turned them into little medium rare cubes.
The one thing that they did do during
Who's African American?
During the whole laser scene, the one thing that was kind of cool was... The laser scene happened, the guy got cubed, and then when you later come back to the hallway, the bodies are gone.
Yeah.
And it's like an homage to the actual video game itself, where every time you re-enter a room, no more bodies.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Exactly. Okay, so let me ask this. I know I have the answer for Rob, but Jeff and John, have you played the video game?
Yes.
I mean, the original Resident Evil, not the shit that came after.
Yes. I never had a chance to play the original one. I've played most of them since that were on the Xbox or any of the Xboxes.
Because the original one, obviously, is what this one was based off of.
Right.
But the game itself became such a cult hit because the story was so badass.
Right.
And the movie seemed to sort of touch on a couple of those things, such as, you know, the little thing about... like you said, the body's being gone after you come back in the room or something like that. That's little nods here and there, but I think the story in the game was actually better.
I actually want to give a shout out to Paul W.S. Anderson for not doing the video game-esque like POV cam.
I'd like to thank Paul Anderson for never doing anything but Resident Evil movies.
You know what? I think speaking of the game though, they need to recreate Resident Evil, because it was such a good story during the time. The game was meh, but the story was amazing, and I think they could really create something now with the technology they got now, and it could be a badass game.
What they're probably going to do, a little bit off topic, is they're going to do what they did with the Tomb Raider. They're just going to cut bait, refresh, keep enough of the original and the newer games to make the people who liked it enjoy it, but introduce new audiences to it.
Well, see, that was kind of the shitty thing about this one is it immediately turned into like a Fast and Furious franchise.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, it started out kind of, tipping the scales of what we sort of accept with you know, zombie movies and stuff, but then just went right for the for jumping the shark.
See, yeah, they got ridiculous. They really did.
That was the part that always
for a zombie movie, but you know, they did. It's
well, that's the part that always really broke my heart, kind of, in the movie, because the first, you know, this one is you know, it's okay. I mean, it's good, and you have horror elements over there that could have been more, but on the from number three and on, there's no horror elements. It's an action zombie movie, and it's just it's actually ridiculous. The later on movies, it's stupid.
I got a question. What is with every zombie movie where initially it's like the people don't even know what a freaking zombie is? They're like, it's coming at them, you know, and they're like, they're deciding whether to kill it or not, you know. It's like they've never heard of a zombie before.
Because apparently
it's like some new thing.
Well, because there's no science fiction at all.
Right. Every zombie movie though repeats that. You know what I mean?
I'm assuming that George R. Romero didn't exist in these universes.
And that's the thing that all these universes sort of have in common is this has never been a fantasy of anybody's mind ever.
Actually, George Romero was given this film, but he due to what they called differences, you know, basically he did not do the script. He didn't do the movie.
Yeah, of course you wouldn't.
But by the way, I want to say, whoever fantasy is zombies, a very interesting fantasy life.
Because
last
thing, you know, like fantasy in the realm of, like, we've all sat there and daydreamed about some post-apocalyptic scenario.
Well, mine never involved zombies, so.
No. Other than for target practice, I thought. Right.
I've been in the hospital enough to worry about sick people.
I gotta say, though, I kept trying to think of, was there any moment of this movie that I thought where was the climax, like, before the actual end of the movie? Because I didn't really think this movie had any climaxes. To me, it was just kind of, like, very linear.
It was supposed to be a continuation, though, at the same time. So maybe they were trying to build up for the next movie, but not really.
Yeah, I know what John means. I agree with him. It seemed to be at the same pace. I think it's pacing that we're talking about here.
Okay. And
I think in the first act, it's almost forgivable. The way they're building the tension was actually kind of good. But then when it starts to lead you not down any really good roads,
right?
You know, you're like, okay, why all the tension then? You know, for just the shenanigans.
Right. The liquor. The liquor is where their climax was supposed to be, and I think they kind of overdid it.
Right.
It was
the just like,
exactly.
The liquor, the thing with the tongue that came out.
Oh, and, yeah.
Crawled along the walls.
And I actually thought it happened way too fast.
I think they could.
Right.
You know, to be honest with you.
I thought they could have introduced it slower. I mean, one of the reasons I originally saw this was because of Mila Jovovich, or however you say, and Michelle Rodriguez. But the scene where they first introduced the zombie when it kind of attacked her, I thought that was way too fast. I thought they could have paced that slower, build up the horror elements more, but it's like, boom, there it is.
Like how in the second one where they actually introduced her
former lover
or whatever, and he turned into that creature. I thought they did a good job in the second one building that.
Yeah. But
the liquor seemed to be the top of the scale for this movie, and it was just kind of
meh. It was almost like they were saving the big characters for the later movies.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I actually like the cast in this movie, even though really the two famous people that I know are Mila and Michelle Rodriguez. The African-American gentleman who, for some reason, I can never remember his name. I know him.
Right.
I know him from other places.
Go take her call.
But he's the... But everybody else, you know, don't, to me, never really stood out. I mean, did you know what I mean.
I think the way the movie's laid out, there really wasn't anybody else that was supposed to stand out.
Right.
You know, you're looking at the main characters.
Everybody else is just a death toll.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which is kind of sad because they switched the main character from the game to the movie.
Oh, they did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Alice wasn't originally.
There was no Alice. And what was the guy's name?
Which, the cop?
Chris.
Yeah. The
was it? It was supposed to be Chris, I believe, wasn't it?
It might have been, but I thought it was like Leo or Larry or some shit.
There's five different characters or something like that.
Well, later on, there's Leon, but he didn't get introduced until the very last. The movie that came out a couple of years ago is the first time I think he was actually introduced.
Right, which is almost a tragedy when it comes to, you know, like everybody, that's what everybody wanted to watch the first movie for. The reason Michelle Rodriguez was in this movie is because she was such a fan of the video game.
Right. You know, exactly.
It's a thing about like you didn't understand the audience that you were showing this movie to.
Right.
You know, you were almost just like acquiring the property rights of the name of Resident Evil. You know, might have played through the game a little bit, but then just changed all of the fun details that we liked. You know,
the one thing that I did really like though is that I learned that that I didn't know before was Mila Jovovich did all her own stunts except from I think minus one. The cuts and the bruises that were on her face weren't makeup; they were real. And that scene where the dogs come and she runs up the wall and kicks the dog, she actually did that. That wasn't CGI. Yeah,
but wow.
I'm like, that's wow. She's hot and she's badass. I mean, come on.
But you can't know, ask she was for any also, better than
that. Right?
But she was also harnessed, though. I'm assuming that
of course,
it was,
but, you know, still a fight.
It didn't say that she was harnessed. It says she had to learn to run up this wall and actually do this. I mean, she physically did this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I was going to say it wasn't without a lack of training.
You know? Right.
No, I'm just saying I'd be surprised if it
was... You just pointed run up that wall. Okay, yeah, sure.
Right.
I'm just surprised if it was without a harness and slash with a harness. Like, without a harness to me would be more amazing than with a harness.
What I read is, no, that there was no harness.
Well, usually it's the insurance companies. They, if you're a major actor and you're going to pull off a stunt, you gotta have
the
you gotta
one
be
scene
honest.
That she didn't do, or the one stunt that she didn't do, was because of her agent talked her out of it.
Yeah, said she was gonna get. He thought that she could have get hanged by the wires that were there. Mm.
Interesting.
I was gonna go back to the comment about Michelle Rodriguez. I actually think it was kind of a shame that she was in here because, to me, I always thought she was the bigger star in this movie. Just because I've always been a bigger
I didn't get that at all.
I didn't see that
because she to me she was a more interesting character than Alice.
I expected her to die like she did.
Well, there you go.
Wow.
To me, everybody except Alice was basically considered a death toll. You've got your continuation characters, but essentially they die and then become something else, a creature or something.
Are they going to actually, I'm hoping when they continue the series, they kill off her and go with the other characters, like, you know, the 9,000 other main characters they have in the, I'm exaggerating a little
bit. That's not going to happen because she's like the star. She's already like probably signed into all these movies.
It also helps she's married to the director.
Yeah, that does help.
I think they're doing one more.
Yeah, the final chapter in like 2016 is what I heard.
I'd be surprised if they didn't reboot the series somehow.
No, isn't a rebootable series.
No.
I mean, this isn't something that's people are gonna look back on 15
make a
years.
TV
now.
Series
well, no, what about but look at Evil Dead?
It's not like Breaking Bad where they're gonna make a Saul movie.
Series. Yeah.
but it's a series. But they rebooted Evil Dead with a completely different character. I think you could do it, but you'd have to do it with a different.
But
tone.
Evil Dead was kind of an open story to be able to do that. Where this is like kind of locked in, kind of like The Walking Dead, where, you know, it has its story, it has its base, it has its ending, which
It would be exactly the same thing as if you were rebooting Fast and the Furious 10, 20 years from now, or Harry Potter.
You know, not that they haven't done enough of those Fast and the Furious movies.
Well, what about,
they're not going to reboot the franchise.
Oh, no, right. not reboot, but a different, you know, same universe, different thing.
Who knows? I mean, you know,
that's a new game.
Ryan, how many times did we talk about the fact that what's one of the problems with Hollywood? There's no new imagination.
Right.
It's always just a remake, a prequel, a sequel, a whatever.
Seriously, they can't just let a story be. Yeah.
Which by the way, stay tuned for movie news.
It's not like plagiarism is anything new in Hollywood. Yeah. It's just, you know, they used to be a little more, you know, surreptitious about it.
Now it's blatant.
Yeah.
And it's like they're almost proud of the fact, oh yeah, we added on to this movie. This remake will be really, really good. You know, it's like it's been made 3 times already before. What makes you think the 4th time's going to be
any
better?
Not only that, but what irritates me is when they remake these, it's almost an insult to the classic that was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they're like with Ghostbusters, I heard they were going to do an all-female cast. Right.
Well, they're doing, allegedly, I recently read they're going to do 2. Like a male cast and a female cast. It's like, let it die.
I think we're starting to get fake information, so to speak. I'm beginning to believe that, Because, like you said, now, oh, okay, we're going to do one movie with all girls and one movie with all guys, and I'm going, well, wait,
you know,
a minute.
I mean... It is Hollywood. They've done dumber things.
I agree, but
Dumb
I...
Dumb and Dumber 3, oh, or whatever it is.
Can you believe that?
So since this is a horror, since this is a horror movie, I've got to ask, what is y'all's favorite death scene? Starting with Jeff.
Well,
I don't have one.
It's probably going to be the cube scene. I thought that was the most creative death in the whole film.
Well, since he took mine, I'm going to say the elevator scene. They open the
Oh,
elevator.
That was good with her head.
Yeah.
I liked that one.
That made
what
me
was
clap.
Good about that one is that they did it to her twice.
Right?
The ultimate, whoa!
Faked her out! Oh, I'm safe! I'm not!
So what about you, Ryan?
It's a layup for the cube scene. Yeah. You know, it's done in another movie, ironically enough, called Cube.
Oh, great movie, by the way. I actually really like that.
It is a trip. That's totally worth an hour and a half. But
for its time, it was really good.
Yeah. But that scene just it almost got kung fu the way you see the line of blood start streaking across. You know.
Right.
It was something out of what do you call it? The flying guillotine movie or something.
Oh, that was great too. Yeah, not to get off topic, but the whole cube movie, the Hollywood ruined it again with like two or three other
Hyper
ones.
Cube.
Yeah, sure Hyper did. And yeah. Ninja Cube and Karate Cube.
Yeah, Ninja.
Karate Cube starts. Cube. Well, Karate Cube stars Ralph Macchio. You gotta watch it.
Did you say Karate Cube?
Yeah, I was making it up. Don't go look for it.
Wax on, wax off.
We're just thinking, hey, you know, we can make a bar on title.
Hell, actually, if you find it, send it in. I'll watch it.
So since I picked this movie, I'll actually give the rating first. I give it a 3 out of 5. If you asked me, you know, 10 years ago, I would have said higher. To me, it doesn't age as well. And when this movie's really relying on the effects, especially the monsters. To me, unfortunately, I have to bring it down. So to me, it's a solid 3 out of 5. It's definitely, if it's on, I'll watch it every time. But, you know, Jeff?
One more thing to add, actually, really quick, is I really like the soundtrack to this movie.
Oh, yeah, killer soundtrack.
I thought the music went really well with the film, kind of.
Totally.
A dimension to the film.
It was Marilyn Manson, actually, that did the whole thing. But, I mean, I think he really has a knack for, you know, sense of you know,
but he does a lot of he actually does a lot of soundtracks.
No, he does
consults on a lot of them. So Ryan,
it was originally gonna be like a 1.5 or 2, but then I'm sitting there thinking like I'm pretty sure this movie was made for a goof and an excuse to cube somebody,
right?
So and then really it got brought up because, like you said, the soundtrack kicked ass. It did have a couple of good moments. It's a 3. It's a decent enough entertaining movie that you'll kind of want to, you know, you'll catch it on cable here and there.
I'll give it a 4 just because I saw it so many times and I actually really liked it back, you know, and it held up a little bit better than I expected to, and I really liked the Red Queen. So I mean, with the soundtrack, the Red Queen, the Cube, and of course I'm a zombie fan, so dead people, always good. I'll give it a 4.
Rob?
So, I'll play the Russian judge. This one.
And 2 out of 1.
I've been waiting to use the
0.5.
0.5. So we're gonna go 2.5 on this one.
There you go.
For me. And I don't know. It. I rate, sometimes a lot of times it has to do with your attention span, right? I found myself drifting off in a lot of parts of this particular movie. It would go on, and it seemed like, okay, let's get to it. And, you know,
that says a lot right there.
Yeah.
And horror movies are generally pretty cheesy, and I thought this one wasn't so cheesy.
Well, I have no cheesy factor in that one, but I understand where you're coming from on that, though. Yeah.
I think Ryan, in the beginning, when he said, was completely right. This is definitely for people who love the video game, and mm-hmm. I think this is definitely for our generation, really more than anybody else, just because it's video games, especially this type of really.
What are you trying to say here?
The old guy played Russian judge.
I've never played
the game, so I can't add to that.
You're pretty much what I was talking about when I was saying, you know, like for the people who play the game, there's going to be a couple of things to sort of kind of get you from scene to scene. But without that, without that sort of previous knowledge, you can't really qualify it as a good movie, you know?
Thank you.
So, you know, I'm
no, right, I agree.
I actually had 2.5 written down before Jeff reminded me of the music.
See, that's what I was trying to say, but I said poorly. And so we're going to switch to House of Cards. And since
House of Cards.
James took the day off on vacation, I guess I'll go. I really liked this episode. You got to see how well the main character, Kevin Spacey, plays people in his hometown. Mm-hmm. There's a scene where he's consoling a husband and wife who lost their daughter. Mm-hmm.
And, due to a water tower.
Yeah, a water tower and texting. By the way, the water tower is a giant peach, and everybody's saying it looks like something completely different.
It looks like an ass.
Yeah, exactly.
And since we're semi a family-friendly show, I'm not going to really say exactly.
What? You can't say ass?
Well, is there I wonder if there was an intentional meaning behind that. You know?
I think it was.
And there's a scene when he did the Zach Morris thing, and he was talking about how humility was their greatest strength and weakness, and you get to see, you know, I love the fact he's really good at playing people.
Oh yeah,
and it's like right. That's his whole thing.
He's the puppet master.
That seems to be starting to be the running theme of I think even all the little plot points sort of up until now have been sort of just it tips to how he's kind of approaches his problems and things like that. But my favorite part of this was the eulogy.
Yeah.
Oh, the scene in the church. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, when just
totally
the whole fourth wall breakdown, or as we love to call it here, the Zach Morris move or gimmick, was actually really well used for probably the first time. Like, there's a couple of times before this where it was a little bit like, okay, I still don't know exactly how to feel about it, but yeah, the eulogy when he's letting the audience know that, you know, his old man was a piece of shit and et cetera, et cetera.
He's kind of like the House of Politics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the part that I really liked on that one was, I'd like to read to from, no. It's just that whole move is like, that was
like
amazing.
Like he didn't have that planned.
Oh, yeah. That's what I like. That it's like, well, that is amazing.
And that's the thing about the character. He plots everything. Yeah. Every move is plotted out.
Yeah, everything is for a reason and precise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I really thought they did well again with, you know, him looking at the camera and explaining a little bit about what he's going to do next.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just, so far, I'm really enjoying this series.
And it is a good series. Yeah. It really is.
And I want to.
It's split. Smart.
And that's Kevin Spacey is just amazing.
I want to talk about his news girl, and how her getting this amazing scoop is starting to piss off her bosses, and you get to see her learning tricks from him.
Yeah.
Right. Like when she said, "So you," her boss belittled her, and was saying you can't do certain things, and he said, "Was this because I'm a woman?" And he basically said, you know, something like, you know, well, you're never going to do this ever again type. And it was, I can't wait to see them two characters become on parody of being able to really tweak people.
The
You think it's going to run into an issue between the two of their relationship?
I'm hoping not, but probably. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The girl that plays Zoe, it's her name is Kate Mara. I believe she's also in Helix.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Okay. Yeah.
I've been trying to pinpoint it down all day today.
She looks familiar.
It just came to me. I think she's in Helix, so I'm going to look it up. Keep
so, with that being said, it's a, you know, teaser. Make sure you watch Chapter 4. Is that what it's called? Or Book 4 or whatever it is?
Yeah, Chapter 4.
And so make sure you watch that for next week. And going to remind you, we do have a Facebook page. You love us, hate us. Hey, if you say something horrible or positive, we might read it on air. Possibly, maybe. And also, how about pause for the cause and donate to Old Guy Tech TV? Help keep the lights on for a little bit longer. And now it's for movie news. And here is one that I'm actually heartbroken on. There's going to be a remake of Magnificent Seven.
Jesus, man, I'm sitting here, like, preparing myself. Like,
yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, and then he goes.
I totally just flopped that one. That was, like, an epic fail.
Yeah, man. But really, I mean, The Magnificent Seven is a great movie, but it's ripping off a famous Japanese movie, and every movie almost rips that movie off.
Doesn't every American movie do that?
a lot. But here's...
They're all remakes, remember?
But here's the one that should be in it. According to this, it includes Denzel Washington, Ethan Hawke, Chris Pratt, Haley Bennett, and Vincent D'Onofrio. Yeah.
I could do without the first actor there.
And
Denzel.
I genuinely would agree.
It's going to be interesting to see his place. Is he going to be the Yaphet Kotto role?
That's a good question. I really don't know.
Wait, was that wasn't Yaphet Kotto? That was
The guy from Ten Commandments. Is that who you're thinking of? Yul Brynner. Yeah. And I'll be honest, Yul Brynner is the sole reason I love this movie.
he was awesome in that movie.
You know, I have a problem.
I've only seen half of this movie, unfortunately, the original one.
When they take an epic that's as old as this movie is, you know, and I think they sit back and they say, okay, well, this movie is now going on 40 years old. We can make another version of it and bring it more up to date, but you're still going to be doing a Western, so the time frame doesn't really change. And so we're adding new actors to it, so it might draw people. I don't know. I have a hard time with it. It is an icon of a movie, and I too have problems with
being. I think the best Western of our time is a TV show called Deadwood.
Well, that
yeah.
We've hit Westerns all the time. Dude. We've got some really good
That's
Westerns.
A sore subject around here. Yeah.
I am kind of curious. Do you think it's going to be a remake like the new True Grit, which was almost a one-for-one reproduction, or do you think they're going to make their own twist?
Cool with that. I would be totally cool with that because I loved the new True Grit precisely because it was the old True Grit.
Right,
and they
just
changed
a little grittier.
Yeah, and they changed it enough
just a little
that
grittier.
It wasn't a straight copy.
They added Coen Brothers to it, which just makes everything awesome.
Yeah, that is true. I'll agree with you on that.
And the director who's doing it, and I can't pronounce his name, is Antoine Fuqua. Wow. But he's done The Equalizer, Exit Strategy, Olympus Has Fallen, Brooklyn's Finest, Shooter, I Call,
yeah,
King Antoine Arthur. Dubois.
Equalizer was interesting.
He's done some okay movies. I think, you know, wouldn't call any of it hit. He did The Training Day, too, which...
Shooter was a pretty decently good movie, though.
Yeah. No, I liked it, but I don't know if I would call it... Yeah, I think it's his best movie, personally.
I don't know. I mean, he's got a really good style and a good eye for kind of what people want to see at any given point. So, you know, he knows how to focus on the good shit.
Yeah.
I mean, with a movie like Magnificent Seven, I mean, it's the whole collection of all the people and then them acting as a group, I mean, is the whole awesomeness of that movie. So I think he's got a good shot of doing this one.
Do you think he's going to be able to keep the epic feel like the original has?
Oh yeah. I think that's pretty much why that's gotta be why they hired him.
Cause that's the sole reason why I'm a little nervous.
There's no reason why they can't do a good Western. And we've seen Kevin Costner do a few good ones and They have the ability to do it.
But it's an epic.
Will they do it?
Open Range was the Mac. I love that movie.
But I would say
that you can't beat that one.
I would say it has two things kind of against it in the modern cinema: it's an epic and it's a Western. And I think the two mixing may have issues because the last epic I'd say is The Hobbit, and well, it's ish. It's okay at best.
I enjoy The Hobbit.
Well, you know, but I mean, you know what I mean, far as the actual epic feel of it. It doesn't feel
epic. Well, how epic can you get without it becoming over corny and, like, overdone?
Well, maybe the term epic is used too much.
Right? That's exactly what I'm thinking is because people try and, like, every movie that comes out is, like, the best movie on the planet.
Yeah,
exactly. It's just like, can it be a good movie?
Or I'm obsessed with this movie.
But right? Magnificent Seven has that epic, you know, like Ten Commandments epic feel, you know, that type of, you know.
Well, it had a lot more going for it. I mean, the soundtrack that everybody remembers, the cast was a rogues gallery of awesome people.
Yeah, and that's it. Music plays a big role in a lot of movies. I mean, you could take a epic situation and ruin it by bad music.
Oh, absolutely.
It's one of the sole reasons I'm really interested in Quentin Tarantino's The Hateful Eight, because he's the one person you could never predict the soundtracks to.
That's not true.
You could count
that
on
is
a good one.
So not true.
Well, the problem is he picks
that is so not
but
true.
But do you think you can predict, because he predicted he picks obscure bands that you've never heard of, just because, you know.
Really? Have you seen Reservoir Dogs? Have you seen?
Seriously, all, I mean, all come of on. Stuff's like iconic 70s.
Right, exactly.
Around that area. But he did other interesting stuff with stuff like Inglourious Basterds
and
with
Kill Bill.
Right.
With certain classical pieces and things like that, obviously trying to take it back a little bit to the 1940s, it's weird when you have soul. Obviously, he still dipped into his vinyl kind
well,
of.
Well, then there was Jackie Brown that kind of accentuated that fact with that kind
yeah,
of music.
Jackie Brown went almost overboard with all the music.
Right,
I hate that movie. So the next one we're going to talk about
tell
is
us how you really feel.
It's a god awful movie and it sucks. The next one, I don't know how I feel about this. It's Hugh Jackman hints that Wolverine 3 will be his last mutant movie. I think it's good and bad. I like him as Wolverine, but you know, at this point, I actually think it's time for some new blood. What do you guys
yeah,
think?
He needs to move on because he's been typecasted. I kind of agree.
Yeah, he has become Wolverine, and I think he's embraced it above and beyond the call of an actor's duty, you right. know, to embrace a role like that. You know, we should let him go gracefully.
So he's yeah. milked the character for as much money as he can possibly get out of it.
Well,
you know,
he can, but at the same time, he's lived that character.
Oh yeah.
Longer than most actors would have and, based on the fact that you're going to be typecast. I mean,
almost
sure,
an argument for it though is that the X-Men is kind of an ongoing comic. I mean, so there is a lot of storyline to cover if they really want to.
Except
that
they're killing off Wolverine.
Well, but I think we're talking about yeah. Hugh Jackman himself, yeah. and don't forget, he's getting older as we
well,
get
that's
older.
What I was gonna say, right. 'cause I really wanted to see it end with like an old man Logan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
That would be. Oh, if it was exactly like the comic book?
Exactly like the comic.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Well, wait a minute. My question is, how could it be old man, considering he's been alive for how long? Like
well,
decades.
Well, there's the thing is, the comic takes place like another couple hundred years in the future, or I think like another 50 years in the future. And yeah. after a certain point in his aging process, he actually starts to age a little bit.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And it's like post-apocalyptic, like Bruce Banner's children kind of rule the
his
world-ish.
Grandchildren.
It's
that
an
would
amazing
be totally
comic
different.
Book. Like, he's a pacifist too.
I gotta say, they've made a lot of X-Men movies, but they're thoroughly entertaining. I mean, the one thing exactly. I think they have kept is they are entertaining, but I do agree that there's probably gonna need to be an end to it.
I would say they're all entertaining except X-Men 3. That movie sucked.
Well, I'm sure glad you're happy with your sucked
right?
opinions today.
Everything sucks today, guys.
All these movies suck. If you actually look at that one, number three is the one that most people complain about.
So, at what point do you take a movie just for entertainment value?
It's entertaining. It's still a bad movie.
There you go.
But the problem...
I was going to say, look at half of the 1950s sci-fis that are bad movies, but they're thoroughly entertaining.
But they were made to be B-movies.
No, they were.
Yeah.
No,
I mean, that was it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
And
we
so
didn't have any better than that. We didn't have the technology. They became
so
these movies and everybody
so
knew
it. We're kind of carrying on along. We're coming towards the end of our show.
Okay, goodbye.
So next right? week is... Next,
and we're done.
Next week is James' pick, so he's doing Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, God.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, make sure you stay for that.
That's a gore fest.
That's what I would have ended up picking.
Aw, how cute. Next week's movie, excuse me, I gave the movie Resident Evil a 3 out of 5, Jeff gave it a 4, Ryan gave it a 3, Rob gave it a 2.5 out of 5. Next week's movie is Cabin of the Woods and House of Cards
4.
And as always, see you next week.
Bye. Thank you.